My God, that adopted me into his family. My God, that has blessed me in so many ways, known and unknown, who has met every need of my life. I slander him when I stress out good worry and anxious. I'm saying in my life that God's not able. God cannot meet my need when my God is able, and my God is able to meet all my needs. And so anxiety, stressing out, worry is sin. It's senseless and it is slanderous. It's not relying on God's promise in our life. But with all of that said, and I hope all of you would agree with that, amen? Be careful for nothing. Matthew 6, which we're going to walk through, demonstrates the absolute craziness of being stressed out, worried, and anxious. But in understanding all of that, in acknowledging all of that, I still, and you probably too, waste time being stressed out, anxious, and worried, don't we? We know it's wrong. We know it's against the Lord. But we do it anyway. It's our fleshly tendency that we like to do. But there is victory. I believe that you can have victory over being stressed out, over anxiety, over worry. And that's what I want to share with you, this victory over this stronghold. And anytime a child of God is going to have victory over any stronghold in their life, at the foundation of that victory is a strong, steady diet of the Word of God. People need to be in the Word of God. They need to be loving the Word of God, passionate about the Word of God, and living the Word of God. So in Matthew chapter 6, I want to look at this text and see what we are to do in the midst of worry. Number one, in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? First of all, we need to perceive. We need to perceive. We need to acknowledge from this text our God and his ability to help us, that it is a waste of time to worry. There's a statement that goes like this: worry, stressing out, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. It's a waste of energy, of effort, of time, and no good comes from it. And in fact, as I've already said, many things that we worry about, that we're anxious about, that we're stressed out about, never actually happen in our lives. What are we to perceive? We are to perceive the Father's care. In the verse that I just read in verse 25, we see the tender care of our Heavenly Father, that we should not worry or stress out about the necessities of life. He talks about how life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. In the statement that he makes in verse 25, it's being brought out how life itself is given by God, and he will provide the needs for us to live that life. And not only to live it physically, but to live the life spiritually healthy, where our lives glorify him. So we are to perceive the Father's care. How do we do that? He gives us some illustrations here. In verse 26, he said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The birds of the air do not sow or reap. They do not gather into barns, but yet God feeds them. There's a little quote that I found. It's a conversation between two birds. Said the robin to the sparrow, And then said the sparrow to the robin, I really do not know, think it must be, why is it these human beings that they have no heavenly father rush about and worry so, such as cares for you and me? And one of the great men of God of old, Spurgeon said, God who gives you heaven will not deny you bread on the road either. The God who gives you heaven will not deny you your bread on the road either. So we are to perceive our God's care, and he talks about the birds. We wake up in the morning anxious. We wake up in the morning worried. We wake up in the morning stressed out. We wake up in the morning depressed. The birds wake up singing. That should not be. We should wake up and realize, I will rejoice in the day, for it's the day the Lord has made. And I have, through the power of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit, I have what I need to live a life that is honor and glory to God. And stop, put the stress aside, the anxiety aside, the worry aside. If the birds can wake up with all the turmoil in our world today and sing in the morning, you and I should be able to wake up and sing as well to the glory of God. He also goes on in verse 28 and 29, as we perceive the care of our God with the fowls of the air, we also see the flowers of the field. Look at verse 28, 29. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. These flowers neither toil, which is man's work, or spin, which is women's work, and yet they are clothed with more splendor than Solomon in all of his glory. All of this tells us, and he also mentions the grass of the field that the Lord decorates with beauty and splendor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Then he mentions that our life is much more important than a flower. Our life is much more important than grass. Our life is much more important than birds. And God says in the Word of God that he will meet our needs. Stop worrying, stop getting anxious, stop getting stressed out, and acknowledge or perceive who our God is. Our God is great. He's awesome. He's magnificent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. He's saving me from hell and taking me to heaven. My friends, I think he can give me some food. I think he can take care of my needs as he's taking care of my spiritual needs. And so not only are we to perceive our Father's care as demonstrated in the fowls and the flowers, we're also to perceive our Father's knowledge in verse 32. I already read it, but I'll read it again. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This verse is a wonderful verse. Our heavenly Father already knows what we need. He's well aware of the necessities of life because he made us. He created us. Since he knows what we need and he desires to give us what we need, he's also able to give us what we need. Our God will then supply our needs. After these lovely thoughts, Jesus goes on to say in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take one day at a time. One step at a time. Don't look ahead to tomorrow and don't look to the past and allow that to bog you down. That's why in a vehicle, the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is small, is it not? Smaller than the windshield because our focus should be forward. I know the past can hurt. I know some of you have been abused in the past, emotionally, physically, sexually, I know some of you have dealt with depression and anxiety. That's in your past, I pray, and we have to acknowledge that. That's part of the review mirror, but that's part of your past. Right now, in all that's going on with worry, anxiety, and being stressed out, right now you can choose to live for God. Right now you can glorify God, regardless of the past. I'm not minimizing your past, but I'm saying right now you can live for God. You can count on God. You can rely on God. You can live the promises of the Word of God. You can live the Word of God now, no matter what the past may be. And so we need to acknowledge or perceive the Father's care, and we also need to perceive or acknowledge the Father's knowledge. John Newton, another great pioneering American, said this: we can easily manage if we only take each day the burden appointed to it, but the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we are required to bear it. Deal with the moment, live in the moment. As the Bible says in verse 34, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So as we look at this point about perceiving or acknowledging our Father's care and our Father's knowledge, the cure for worry, anxiety, and being stressed out is to meditate and realize how great our God is, that our God is able and willing, and for us to take one step at a time by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. So not only are we to perceive, but we are to prioritize. We are to prioritize. Verses 19 through 24 of Matthew 6, they tell us to lay up treasure in heaven. Do not serve this world or the money of this world, but we are to seek first God's kingdom. One of the cures, not only perceiving God's care and God's knowledge, but another cure for worry is prioritizing the spiritual in life by getting busy for God and putting God first. Be more interested in the things of God. Be interested in a holy, pure life and living a life that glorifies God. I'm sure you've all heard of a statement saying, don't worry, be happy. Have you heard that? Don't worry, be happy. I think it is better said this way: don't worry, be holy. The world says, don't worry, just be happy. I believe God says, my children, don't worry, just be holy, because with holiness will come happiness. And that's what we should strive for, is holiness in our lives. What I've done for you, if you have the handout in the Spiritual Leadership Asia app, how do you prioritize God in your life? Several years ago, I went through the Bible, and I noticed several things that God said for you and me as his children to do on a daily basis. Now, if our God wrote down in his book things that you and I should do every day, should we do them? Yes, no, maybe so. Amen? We should. God says to me, do these every day. He tells you in the Bible to do them every day. And I share with us seven things that I found that we should do daily. And this will help us prioritize God in our life. And if we are busy doing what I call the seven daily tasks from God in the Bible, we are less likely to be stressed out, to be anxious, and to be worried, because we will be focused on doing what God has told us to do. So I want to share those with you. First one is search the scriptures. It says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. What does it say in that? Daily, whether those things were so. If you want to stop the stress from overtaking you, the worry, the anxiety, you must find yourself on a regular daily basis in the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word of God. It is amazing, as I counsel people back in California at the ministry, and people come to me, and they come to me with significant issues, you name it, they come our way, and I will ask them, how is your Bible reading? And they look at me like a deer in headlights. And they'll say, and I say, how is your Bible reading? Non-existent. And it's like, hello? Why do you think you're running into problems with stress, anxiety, and worry when you're not in the source of our strength, the source of our stability, the Word of God? And so the first thing that we need, if we're going to get over the stressing out, the anxiety, the worry, is to find ourselves daily searching, studying the Scripture. Second thing we are to do every day is to pray. It says in Psalm 86, verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I cry unto thee daily. Oh, my friends, we not only need to be in the Word of God, but we need to be crying out to God daily. I believe every one of you in here should be praying James 1:5 every day. If any man lack wisdom, I do. Do you lack wisdom? I hope you can acknowledge that. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I ask God every day for wisdom, heavenly wisdom, Holy Spirit-directed wisdom, not only for me and my wife, but for my entire family. I ask for that wisdom for Pastor Chapel because he's my pastor. Ask for wisdom. Cry out to God. I cry out to God daily for his favor with him and with man. I cry out to God daily to meet my needs. Cry out to God daily. So we are to search the scriptures. We are to pray. Third, Psalm 119:164, we are to praise God every day. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. I believe that number seven in this verse talks about praising God habitually. You just praise God. I praise God, I woke up. Or I think I woke up. I don't know, but I praise God. I praise God that I have a job as a medical doctor. I praise God. As I'm driving to work, sometimes I'm battling depression going to work, but I still try to praise God. I go to teach at West Coast Baptist College. I praise God that I have the opportunity to invest in students that are going to carry the gospel to places I'll never be able to go. You lose your car keys and you find them. Praise God. You lose your Bible and you find it. Praise God. You have a wife. Praise God. You have a husband. Praise God. You have children. Praise God. You have breath in your lungs. Praise God. You just habitually, every day, find reasons to praise God. And if you're praising God, you don't have time to be stressed out. You don't have time to worry. You don't have time to be anxious. Because I'm so enthroned with the Word of God, with prayer, and with praising my God. Number four, what are we to do on a daily basis? Exhort one another. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. My friends, I need encouragement from you. I'll admit it. And you know, you need encouragement from me. We need encouragement from each other. If you're married, your spouse needs encouragement from you. Husbands, have you encouraged your wife lately? Have you told your wife lately that she looks nice? Even if she doesn't, you tell her, but that's another issue we need your counsel over, but because that is kind of lying. And you see how I rationalize that by saying kind of? Wives, have you thanked your husband and exhorted him, encouraged him for the work that he does? For how he provides? Have you encouraged your pastor, your pastor's wife? Have you encouraged your Sunday school teacher? The Bible says, exhort, encourage, build up one another daily. It should be a daily routine that we're encouraging our families. We're encouraging the family of God. We're encouraging our church family. We're just in a habit to encourage each other because we need encouragement. Number five, take up your cross. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Stay busy with the ministry God's given you. God's given us all the tasks. All of us should be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us should be carrying gospel tracts. All of us should be handing out gospel tracts, laying gospel tracts down, witnessing with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us should be encouraging and exhorting, as I just said. All of us have a ministry, whether it be teaching or preaching or nursery or whatever it might be. We all have been given a cross to bear, and God says, be busy every single day, exercising that cross, satisfying that cross, fulfilling the responsibility of that cross. And if you're doing this, you're going to be less likely stressed out, worried, and anxious because you're doing these daily things. Number six, die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We need every day to die to our own desires and lusts, to die to our own cares and our own cravings, and live for God. What's more important to me and what's more important to you? Our cravings or our calling from God? Are we going to follow our cravings and the lust of the world, or are we going to follow our calling from God? And the only way that we're going to follow our calling from God is if we die daily to our cravings and our lusts. And that is a daily task. That's a moment-by-moment task. Number seven for the seven daily tasks that I find in the Bible, perform your vows. Or I like to say, live honestly. It says, Psalm 61:8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. We need to live honestly before God. We need to live honestly before others. And we need to live honestly with ourselves. How many of us, when we greet each other, oh, hey, Brother Crabb, how you doing? And I can say, oh, fine. But inside, I'm struggling. That's not living honestly. Now, I know when you say, hey, Brother Crabb, how you doing? You know, you don't want me to pull out my laundry list of problems. I understand that, but the other day, walking into church, one of the men that I know walked by me, and I said, Brother so-and-so, how you doing? And he said, not well. I appreciated his honesty. We talked a little bit, and he shared with me in a very quick moment of time what was going on with him and his family, and I didn't have a lot of time to counsel. Church was going to start. We were going to have prayer time in a few moments. But you know what I did try to do? I tried to go back and do that exhort one another daily, encourage him, and let him know that I'd be praying for him. And from that day, which has been about a month ago, I've prayed for him and his family every day. You see, church, has everyone heard of group therapy? Now, I'm not asking if you've been in group therapy, but, you know, group therapy, you get together as a group, and you share, and you have a facilitator that leads the group, okay? That's group therapy. Psychiatry feels they invented that. Do you think group therapy was invented by psychiatry? I don't think so. I think God invented it. It's called the local church. We get together as a group. We encourage each other. We share with each other. We bear one another's burdens. We pray for each other. And we have a facilitator, the pastor, or the speaker of the hour that gives counsel, gives advice from the Word of God. That's group therapy. And that's what we need. But we need to live honestly before God. God, I'm struggling. God, I need you. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, I have a burden. I'm struggling. I need your encouragement. I need your prayer. I need your support. And then live honestly with yourself. Hey, I'm struggling with something. I need my God. I need my family and God. I need some help. That's a very healthy way to live. Spiritually, soulically, as well as spiritually. So, do you realize if we were busy doing these seven daily tasks, how it would diminish stress? I don't have time for stress. I'm busy reading the Word of God. I'm busy praying. I'm busy praising God. I'm busy encouraging. I'm busy carrying my cross. I'm busy dying to myself. I'm busy being honest with God and with others and with myself. I'm too busy to be stressed out. I'm too busy to be anxious. I'm too busy to be worried. Not only do I perceive God's care and God's knowledge, but I prioritize God in my life. And when I am more Christ-like, there is less worry, less anxiety, less stress when I am more Christ-like. That's what we need. Number three. We need to pray, as I've already said, but I want to emphasize this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, where it talks about being anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your request be with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The Word of God tells us not to be careful, but rather prayerful. Don't be careful, but prayerful. When you catch yourself being filled with care, stress, turn your eyes upward and pour your heart out to God in prayer. And be thankful. It says that the peace of God that passes all understanding will be a part of our life. That word peace means quietness and rest. The word keep means to mount guard, post spies at the gate, hem in and protect with a garrison. That's what God does when we turn our care into prayer. It has been said that care and prayer oppose one another. Therefore, when you're being attacked and be stressed out, anxious, or worried, turn the care into prayer. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And medically, you can't do that. God knew what he was talking about. In other words, what he's talking about here, being stressed out or worried, is not only a sin against God, it's a waste of God-given time. You see, we worry, we're anxious, and we're stressed. And what does that do? It takes us away from sharing the gospel with other people. I'm so stressed out, people say. I'm just stressed out over life, over money, over politics. I'm just stressed out. And they burn a lot of energy, a lot of time, and a lot of effort, which could be placed into the ministry of Christ. So it is a sin. It's senseless. It's slanderous. And it's a waste of God-given time. The great news is, even though most of us will struggle with this, there is help if we perceive God's care and God's knowledge, if we prioritize godliness and Christ-likeness in our life with those seven daily tasks, and if we find ourselves turning our care into prayer. I ask you to turn your eyes upward and put these Bible principles into practice and continue to use God's word as a sword, striking the devil with verses that deal with worry. My friends, we don't need to be stressed out. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be worriers. We need to trust our God. We need to trust our God is willing and he is able to meet all our needs. So I want to encourage you, perceive God's care and God's knowledge. And I really want to encourage you, those seven daily tasks. And I shared with you the verses. It says daily in this that you start doing those things on a daily basis. And allow the presence of God to overwhelm you as you become more Christ-like, as you incorporate the Word of God into your life, and as you become more Christ-like, the worry, the anxiety, and the stress will diminish as Christ-likeness is increased in your life. We don't have to live anxious, worried, stressed out lives. Because my God is able. Is your God? Amen. Yes. He's able. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would help all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ realize the power that is you, and that your presence in our lives makes all the difference. Father, I pray that you would help all of us incorporate these seven daily tasks into our lives. Help us go back to our respective ministries and teach those seven daily tasks to our Sunday school classes, to our congregations, our Bible studies, whatever it may be, so that not only we are living out those seven daily tasks, but the people that you've given us to minister to can learn of those daily tasks and implement them as well. So, Father, help us become more like you. Help us increase in Christ's likeness. And as we do so, help us realize the stress, the anxiety, and the worry will diminish in our life. And we do this because we want to please you, we want to glorify you, and we want to advance your kingdom. For we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming to the session, everyone. God bless.